halacha maisa. Much of it is very halacha maisa. And we have wild shilas that come up today. If you look into the Gemara, you can find every shilah. You just got to keep your eyes open. You have to know. You have to be alert. You have to study every daf in Gemara. Tosfos points out in the first parak, in the beginning of Ksubas, Tosfos points out that the style of the Talmud Bavli is to discuss abstract dinim, even if it's never going to happen in a million years. So they quote a Gemara. The Gemara is talking about there's a behema is pregnant, and the doctors take the embryo from this rechem and they put it into another rechem. So it says it's never going to happen in a million years. But the Gemara talks about the abstract din. So those things that are never going to happen in a million years, now they do it every day. And every din, every shada that comes up is discussed in the Gemara. You just have to open your eyes and to know where the Gemara is. It's not necessarily going to be what you think it is. And may be in Pchairis, where that Gemara is, by taking the embryo from one to the other. But Pesachim is very much halacha l'maaseh. You got to learn every line in the Gemara and to know pashut pshat, no pilpulim. Just to know pashut pshat and what the din is in every line. Okay.
The first question that the boys posed for the questions, why is more time stressed on learning practical halacha and midos building as opposed to learning so much gemara? We have to, the gemara, everything is halacha l'maaseh, yes, but still, the gemara says that
the learning should be balanced. Balancing in life, that's for Jews and non-Jews. Balancing all of your commitments in life is the key to successful living. There are a lot of things that you have to do. You got to figure out how to balance, how to juggle everything, and how to balance everything at the same time. So the Gemara says your learning has to be balanced. The Gemara says you have to learn shlish b'mikra, shlish b'mishnah, and shlish b'talmud. Shlish b'mikra means you have to be ma'avesedra every week, and you have to learn Tanakh. One third of your knowledge of Torah should be Tanakh. Shlish b'mishnah, mishnah means halacha l'maaseh, the days of the Tanaim. The mishnah was like a shulchan aruch, kitzur shulchan aruch. You have to learn kitzur shulchan aruch. If you start off by learning mishnah brura, so you'll never cover. First, learn the whole kitzur shulchan aruch from cover to cover. It's not so challenging. It's not so difficult. After you do the kitzur shulchan aruch a couple of times, then you can graduate and do the chayyadam from cover to cover a couple of times. Then, if you want to, you can graduate and maybe do parts of the Mishnah Brura. I wouldn't recommend starting with the Mishnah Brura. It's not so easy. When I was growing up, everybody learned kitzur shulchan aruch. That was the Bible. So all of a sudden, now it became the Mishnah Brura. Mishnah Brura is way too hard for most people. So the Gemara said you got to do shlish b'mishnah and then shlish b'talmud. One third of your learning should be learning Gemara. We all follow the Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, in the third parak in Sanhedrin, why is it called Talmud Bavli? Because it was composed in Babylonia. But Oyd Yerushalayim, the Gemara says, because the Talmud Bavli is belula b'mikra b'mishnah b'gemara, is everything blended in. So Rabbeinu Tam says that expression belula b'mikra b'mishnah b'gemara is an allusion to the this din. Yolam mishalosh adam shnoisav shlish b'mikra shlish b'mishnah shlish b'talmud. That if you learn Gemara, you don't have to learn shlish b'mikra. You have to learn shlish b'mishnah. If you learn Gemara, everything is included. Everything is included. That means if you learn Gemara, if you learn a lot of Gemara, if you learn a lot, like when Rav, they write that when Rav Kook was not learning as a bacher in Balazhin, he learned 60 blot a day, 60 blot a day, and he wasn't the only one. There were other people in Balazhin also learning. One of the, I think the Nachlas David writes in one place. Rav Chaim Balazhin has said that they're going to learn Boga Basra this year in the yeshiva after Sukkot. So he asked the Talmidim they should please finish the whole Masechta from cover to cover before he gives the first shir on that base. He wants them to have a knowledge of the whole Masechta. So they write, I think the Nachlas David writes it somewhere, one of the other contemporaries, he writes on Simchas Torah, they finished Hakafis, didn't take all day long, finished Hakafis, they said Kiddush, they ate, they benched, and they sat down, they started learning Baba Basra, and by Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, more than half of the students had finished the whole Masechta Baba Basra with all the Tesis. That's how they used to learn. People have an image of Rav Baruch Ber that he went so slowly, didn't go so slowly. Rav Baruch Ber was in America for a year raising money. That year he went through all of Kachin, all of Seder Kachin. And he wrote Chidushim, he wrote notebooks, the whole Seder Kachin. He must have learned 5-10 blot a day. when he learned about Lashon, also he probably did 10 blot, 20 blot a day. So that Rabbi Natam says that Yoytze Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Talmud, he's talking, you're learning 5-10 blot Gemara a day, so your learning will be balanced. We usually, many people do not learn so much Gemara a day. You learn 10 lines of Gemara in a day. You learn a Tosfos that has 10, 20 lines. So there is no Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah. So you got to be Kovet. You have to have Zmanim every day. You have to be Mabes Sedra every week. You have to set aside a little time to learn Nevi'im. You should know who the Nevi'im are. You should learn a little bit Kitzur Shulchan Aruch to know what the Dinim are. Your learning has to be balanced. I remember there was once a big machlokes in the yeshiva where the students were had a whole revolution. They were upset. Why in the yeshiva they only teach Gemara? They had a whole revolution. We have to institute. You should learn Chumash and Dinim as well. So Dr. Belkin had a meeting, and he invited Rabbi Mendel Zaks to come to the meeting. Mendel Zaks was the son-in-law of the Chafetz Chaim. He was the bochen in the yeshiva. He's the one who gave smicha to Dr. Belkin in Radin. He gave yeshiva in Radin in the Chafetz Chaim's yeshiva. So Rabbi Mendel Zaks was the oldest one there at the meeting. And the rabbis were fighting back and forth whether they should introduce Chumash and Dinim or not. Then Dr. Belkin said, I invited my Rosh Yeshiva, I invited Rabbi Mendel Zaks. He feels that this is an issue that's relevant for all of education in America. Whatever we're going to do in yeshiva is going to have ramifications all over. It's going to have ripple effect all over. He wants to know, what does Rabbi Mendel Zaks say about this? Rabbi Mendel said, in Radin, the shiur was only on Noshim and Nizikim. But the rest of the day, the boys didn't play baseball, they didn't play basketball, they didn't watch television. The rest of the day, they learned, they were Mabes Sedra, they learned Tanakh, and they learned Mishnah Berurah, they learned on their own. He said, in America, whatever we don't teach them, they won't know. You have to have balanced learning. So we have to, everyone has to have Siddurim, to learn Halacha Lamaisa, to learn Midos. Midos is not Stam, Midos Chasidus, Midos is a Din, Halachta Bedrocha. You have to study Midas, you have to study Allah HaMais, you have to Mabes Sedra, and the Gemara should be part of the equation. The Gemara shouldn't be the only thing that you learn. The Gemara has to be B'Shilashtam, Shlish B'Mikra, Shlish B'Mishnah, Shlish B'Tam. But you should keep in mind that every Gemara is Allah HaMais. Even the Gemara that seems to be so far out and so wacky, everything may have Allah HaMais ramifications.
There's a question from Tamina. What is Rebbe's position on going to secular college, and what advice Rebbe give if the Tamina is going to secular college, how to stay strong? Going to the secular college
was the destruction of the earlier generations in America. The parents didn't realize that what a lachatz there is, what a pressure there is on the Jewish children to assimilate. We have boys who learned in yeshivas in Eretz Yisrael 2 and 3 years. They come back, they go to Columbia. So after 6 months, they don't wear a yarmulke anymore. And the other 2 months, they don't keep kosher. Then at the end of the first year, there's already no Shabbos. And when they finally graduate, they said that close to 40% of religious people who go to Goyish University will not be religious after they finish. That's unbelievable. Close to 40%. Psychologists made this survey. That's terrible. I know a boy who learned in Etzion, it's not the fault of Etzion, he learned in Etzion for quite a few years. He's holding by marrying a Chinese non-Jewish girl that he met at NYU graduate school. A Chinese girl? I would fall in love with a Shiksa, an American Chinese girl. She doesn't talk the same language even. So he's a religious boy, so he's not going to marry her unless she'll be converted by an Orthodox family. It's a joke. Not even look at a Chinese girl. The pressure to be like everybody else. I was just in Chicago about 5-6 weeks ago for Shabbos. So I visit, they asked me to visit the different schools there. And somebody asks me, they plan to go to a secular college. And in the college, and they're going to stay in the dormitory, of course. And the big excitement is that every Shabbos afternoon, there's a football game. So you have to carry a pass to go to the football. But for the Shomer Shabbos, they have a whole etza, how you can go without carrying a pass, without violating Hoytzot. So they want to know, is it permissible to go to the football game on Shabbos afternoon? I said, it's not permissible to go to the secular college. What do you want? You're going to lose your whole religious observance. The most religious people, they have true in Columbia and Penn University, they have shiurim. So those who are mechazik themselves that go to the shiurim, so they're saved. But there are B'nai Torah who learned in yeshivas 2 and 3 years and every time they go back, they think that they're smarter than everybody else. They don't always go to the Hillel, they don't always go to the Shiurim, and there's still a lot of people who are falling in, who are losing the whole religious observance because they go to the secular university. That's a tragedy. If they're investing so much effort and energy in Shmiras and Mitzvahs, then everything goes down the drain. My oldest son-in-law is from Switzerland. So he goes to Switzerland, so he learned in Shaladim, and then he went to the Israeli army for a while, and then he came to America, and then he married my daughter. Came to yeshiva and married my daughter. So he's very learned and very religious. He lives now in Golan. He lives in Eretz Yisrael. But he told me, and when I visited Switzerland, I saw that it's true. There are boys and girls who from Switzerland who went to Eretz Yisrael to study 2 or 3 years. To go back to Switzerland, there's no support over there. They don't have any chizuk. So after 2-3 years, there's no zecher left that they had ever learned in yeshiva in Eretz Yisrael. Those who want to remain observant have to go on aliyah. To go back to Switzerland and to be religious is very difficult because you go to Goyishe University. I remember there was once a weekend for the European Jewish Students Union. Jewish Students Union, you know what that means? I mean, anyone between the age of 20 and 50 who's single, it's called Jewish Students Union. So they don't want to intermarry. So they have twice a year, they have a weekend for everyone. It's a broad spectrum. They have Shomer HaTzoyer, and they have Aguda. They have Mizrahi Aguda, they have everybody there. Most of them are Shomer HaTzoyer. Most of them are not observant. Shomer HaTzoyer in Europe is not the same as Shomer HaTzoyer in Eretz Yisrael. Eretz Yisrael is much worse. But in Europe, it's also, they're not observant. So I remember once Dr. Lamb was fundraising in Switzerland, and he was selling them a bill of goods. Sheep University, we have doctors and lawyers and Indian sheeps and everything, we have everything. That's why they should all give money to Sheep University. So they said to him, oh really? We're soon going to have, in another 2 months, we're going to have the annual, they have twice a year, the Jewish Students Union weekend, European Jewish Students. There's a Swiss Jewish Students Union and European Jewish Students Union. So they're having to get together. So they wanted him to send one of his young doctors, lawyers, Indian chiefs, rabbis, whatever, he should send someone there to participate in the Shabbaton. So Dr. Lamb called up long distance from Switzerland. He called to Rabbi Willig's office directly and he said, you got to get one of the young rabbis has to go. So we had a meeting and they decided, I'm going to go because I already had Mechutonim who lived in Zurich. This weekend was not in Zurich. This was in Plassalb. 99% of the people in Switzerland never heard of this place, Plassalb. No one knows where the place is. So I came there. So the girls were all wearing jeans and shorts and everything. Then it turned out that those girls who were wearing jeans and shorts and everything, they had studied in Mechlala 2 years. And they were miuchasim from very tzaddikim, descendants from big tzaddikim from generations ago. There's no support system there, so every zecher of Shmiras HaMitzvahs goes down the drain. The thing that's left is at least they don't want to intermarry. So they get together twice a year for this weekend and they work on each other. Whoever is going with a non-Jewish boy or a girl, they work on each other to be mechazik each other and not intermarry. It's a tragedy. It's a tragedy. You go to a secular college, you stand the chance of losing your whole religious observance. There's no din in the Gemara that prohibits going to a secular college, but the Torah says, Mishmartem es Mishmarti, Asum Mishmartes Mishmarti. Each person has to watch out. You don't lean over the cliff if you know that you may fall over. You have to be careful on your own. The Mesillas Yesharim says, Mishmartem es Mishmarti is not only a din that's talking to the Bez Nagor, they should assay Siog Letter. It's talking to each individual person. If you see that there's a danger, you have to watch out. You have to watch out for your physical health, you have to watch out for your spiritual health. If a person has no choice, he has to go to a secular college because they simply don't have, he wants to be a rocket scientist and the Jewish universities don't have that yet. So he has no prayer, he has to go, he wants to be an astronaut or something, we don't have that in the Jewish universities yet. So he has no choice, he has to go to a secular university. So for sure he shouldn't stay in the dormitory, he should go home every day. Or if the astronaut school is in Wyoming and he doesn't live in Wyoming, so he should stay by Jewish family. He can't stay in a Goyish university. You're going to fall in. You're going to become a Goy Gomer. or even if you have no choice, you have to stay in the Goyish University, don't go to the football game on Shabbos afternoon. Nothing to discuss. Absolutely awesome. Not only is it prohibited to do melachas on Shabbos, it's a mitzvah of Shabbosam. Shabbos has to be Shabbos.
My question was, is a Kohen allowed to enter the medical field? And how about if you attend medical school?
I live in Washington Heights. I remember when I first got married, I moved into the neighborhood. So there was a young man who was a kohen in the neighborhood who decided he's going to go to medical school. So the rabbi in the community at that time, there was Rabbi Breuer and Rabbi Schwab. So Rabbi Schwab dealt with the younger people, or Rabbi Breuer dealt with the older folks who came from Germany. So Rabbi Schwab told the young man he's not permitted to go to medical school because he's a kohen. So the young man said, well, he has a heter, he has some kind of a heter from somebody. So Rabbi Schwab told him the heter is a mistake, but he wasn't going to listen to Rabbi Schwab. So Rabbi Schwab asked Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, and he said that it's also to go to medical school. So Rabbi Schwab asked, could you please write me a tshuva that it's also. So everybody who was a member of the shul got a copy of Rabbi Moshe's tshuva in the mail, a Xerox copy of the handwritten tshuva of Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, which is now available in print in Negris Moshe, the letter to Rabbi Schwab. So he writes, even if you can eke out a heter, figure out some heter, he writes, it's a bizoyan hatorah to come up with such a heter. It was mukubal for so many centuries that it's not proper for a kohen to go to medical school. So I remember in the yeshiva, there was once a kohen who wanted, he had his heart set, he wanted to go to medical school. So he spoke to Rav Soloveitchik also, he wanted to go to medical school. So Rav Soloveitchik said the same lashon as Rav Moshe Feinstein. It's a bizoyan hatorah to come up with a heter for such a thing. It's mekubal that this is awesome. It's not permissible for a kohen. If a kohen is on Hatzalah, so a kohen is permitted to join Hatzalah because usually they save lives. Once in a while, if the patient dies, so the kohen has to run out of the van, has to run out of the house. But the kohen is permitted to go to save people's lives. Calls them out, they're alive, they're alive. Kohen shouldn't come in contact with the goseis unless he thinks he may save the life of the goseis. So mikvach nefesh is doicha, but to go to medical school is dark and not permissible. Yimetami lemesim. There's no, that's what Moshe Feinstein writes in his tshuva, there's no mitzvah to go to medical school. If a person already has medical knowledge, then it's a mitzvah, he has an obligation to heal the sick. But there's no mitzvah to go to medical school in order to be able to heal the sick. They should say, well, he's doing a mitzvah, then there should be a heter. He says, there's a mitzvah if a person has a lot of wealth, is a mitzvah should give tzedakah. Is a mechuyev to make $1 million in order to give so much money to tzedakah? Rav Moshe says, not mechuyev to earn so much money to give tzedakah. If you earned a lot of money, you have to give a lot of tzedakah. But there's no mitzvah to earn so much money in order to give tzedakah. So he said, the same way, there's no mitzvah to go to medical school in order to save people's lives. If you went to medical school and you have the medical knowledge, then you're mechuyev. They write in the introduction to the one of the Talmidim of the Vilna Gaon wrote a sefer on the mitzvahs of Tuyas Vorets. What's it called? Pas HaShulchan. The sefer Pas HaShulchan. So he writes the story about the Vilna Gaon. Everybody knows it from that introduction. That the Vilna Gaon, as a teenager, wanted to go to Italy to go to medical school in order to understand Hilchas Treifus. He wanted to understand anatomy better. So his father didn't let him. The Vilna Gaon's father didn't let him. He said, my son, Elia, will go to medical school. He'll become the biggest doctor in the world. Then he'll be mechuyev to treat all the sick people. Then he won't be allowed to sit and learn. I don't want my son to spend all day long treating the people. So if you don't have the medical knowledge, you're not mechuyev. You're not mechuyev to go to school to save people's lives. If you have the knowledge, then you're mechuyev to. So if the Vilna Gaon would have gone to medical school, your father's probably right. He would have become a genius doctor. He would have been obligated.
Can I just modify the question a little? If it seems the person was sure they can choose school without exposure, without any problem.
Now they're starting to have anatomy courses without actual cadavers.
Right, but inevitably in their career, they might.
No, so that's like a Hatzalah. That's like a Kohen joins Hatzalah. Once in a while he's going to bump into a mace, so he'll run out. Okay, he has to run out there. But if he knows that in medical school he won't be Nechshon, And Derek Klal, he won't be dealing, he won't be in the Oil HaMeis.
It would be a rabbi, that was my shadow. What if he can get a Masa Magor, but he has a problem with Oil
We are Machmer. Yeah, we are Machmer that a Kohen should not even come in contact with Oil HaMeis of a Nochri. That's the Mechaber and the Ramah both say like that. There's a Machloik in Satanai, where the Meisei Akma Metami Ba'Oel. And as Machloek Zer Rishonim had a paskin, so both the Shulchan Aruch, both the Mechaber and the Ramah say that the proper practice should be that a Kohen should be careful not even to come in contact with the Meisei Akum, but also not proper.
No,
you
with your
Lashon, okay. So Chumrah. But the Kohenim should observe the Chumrah. That was the Chumrah that was observed for many centuries.
Next question is, if someone is paying for a wireless internet or Wi-Fi, and someone else wants to tap into that without obviously paying for it, is it better for someone to tap into someone else's Wi-Fi?
I think there are two issues involved. One issue is Zayla from the one who's paying for the services, because it may slow down his internet access slightly. Takes a while till you get your information on the internet. Now it's going to take another half a second. So a lot of people are very mocked. They want to have access immediately. They want to get all the answers right away. So if the guy doesn't give you permission and it really slows him down, so then it's not Kigzela. You're not allowed to be mops at him. Well, let's say he's an older person. He's not jumping. He's not using the internet now. He uses it in the morning. I want to use it at night. So if I know that he's not makbid, if I'm not stealing from him, so then it's only a shadow of stealing from the company. So stealing from the company, that's not a problem. Let's say in New York City, they have the buses go around, and they expect everybody who uses the bus to pay a fare. So there will be some Schweizer kids who jump on the back of the bus. They jump on the outside of the bus, and they don't pay the fare. So they got nothing. That's Geneva. Whoever goes on the bus, if people go in, you're supposed to go in the front and pay the money. So you go in the back, you don't pay the money. That's Geneva. You're not allowed to take the services without paying. So here it depends. If I live in Chattanooga and I happen to be visiting New York for a weekend and I need access to the internet, it's out of the question. I'm not going to subscribe just because I come in once a year to New York City. I'm not going to subscribe to internet access on it. So I'm not a potential customer for them. So it's not considered stealing from them. I'm not stealing from them because I didn't subscribe. But if I live here kavua, and I'm always gonna save money. I'm always gonna save money. And basically, I am a potential customer. I can afford it. I would buy this service. But if I can get it for nothing, so why should I pay? But that's Zayla from the company. You assume whenever, let's say, you have a company makes nigunim, and they have a tape of nigunim, or you have a disc that has a program on it or something, and they put a lot of time, effort, and energy into this manufacturing this product, and they want to get as many customers as possible. So if I'm a potential customer and I just want to make a copy of someone else's tape or someone else's system that he paid for, so that's Geneva. These people have a right to make money on their product. Unless I'm just not a potential customer, it's not a lobo b'cheshbon. It's out of the question, I'm not going to buy it. So then I don't think there's an issue to tap in on it. If I'm being covered, they're not going to lose any, they're not going to gain any money on me.
So if it's not being used for commercial purposes, and I'm not going to buy it, so then it would be permissible.
What do you mean not being used for commercial purposes?
I'm not going to go about selling this. I'm just making it for myself, to my own hana, my own pleasure. And I don't plan on buying it.
If it's out of the question, I'm not gonna subscribe. Then I'm not losing anything on me. So then I don't think there's any Geneva. Geneva is only if I'm a potential customer.
Is it the same case if you're walking around the neighborhood and you need to pick something up and you just happen to find, you know, you're not, even though you would subscribe, but in the area that you're in the same city, whatever, you're just not in your house or your own.
In my house, I still subscribe in my own house.
Right, but I'm going out, I'm somewhere else, and I'm around the neighborhood.
So I'm not going to subscribe a second time in the same city. So then, there's no gzeila. and there's no geneva from the company, it's just a shayla geneva from the man who pays, and I'm slowing down his a little bit, I may be slowing down his access to his internet. So you have to find out if he's makpid or not.
What if I would pay, but I don't have the ability to? Like, I don't have the...
Also, if you're not a potential customer, I don't think there's any.
A lot of times, wireless internet, people can lock it, like put a code, so you can assume that if the person doesn't have a lock, that he doesn't mind that other people are using it.
Yeah, sometimes you cannot assume. Sometimes he's just lazy, he doesn't lock it. Sometimes he can, sometimes he can't. Yeah.
On the term of the you said if you're not a potential customer, that means you'd be technically okay.
If what?
Your definition of not being a potential customer. In terms of, like, I guess, demo.
If I'm not a potential customer, right.
What's your definition? Like,
I can't afford the tape. It costs $35, and it's out of the question. It's out of my ballpark. I never pay $35 for a tape.
Nowadays, there are people who go about the mindset that, oh, since I can get it for free, no, there's no possible way I'm going to buy it.
That's not right. That person has to be honest with himself.
I've been curious here what some guys will do is they'll upload a CD, and they'll be on the computer, so you would not be allowed to put those songs onto your device.
If what happened?
So what people will do is they'll take their CD and they'll upload it to the computer and put it on their iPod, whatever.
Yeah.
So the music stays on the computer, so you would not be allowed to take those songs.
Right. I should not download it. I should really buy a copy from the one who manufactured it. Right. If they still have more copies available.
Next question was: is it proper for a yeshiva, college yeshiva, to take upon themselves a fast? Is Microsoft is learning, typically the current essays that are being implemented by the Illuminati as well. President Trad, is that appropriate for a common issue?
The Rabbanut declared tomorrow, the Kaveh Yom HaTaimis. Tomorrow, because
oh, that's why I'm going home tonight. The Rabbanut was Kaveh Yosei Shetaka fast. I remember when Rabbi Kanatovsky came to Eretz Yisrael, he wanted to go on Aliyah, so he came to us on a pilot trip to see where he can get a position in Chinuch and Rabbanus, and then he came back to America. So he tells me that when he arrived in Eretz, he had a meeting with someone from the Mizrahi the first day, had a luncheon meeting with someone in a restaurant. Then when he comes to Eretz, he finds out that the Rabbanut was going to Tainus that day. But he had just arrived, and he was very exhausted, and he was starving. So he met this person from the Mizrahi at the restaurant, and he says, I'm not in a position to, Rabbi Kanatovsky, Zuchan Baruch Hassan, I'm not in a position to fast, I just came to Eretz Yisrael, I have to eat today. So the other person from the Mizrahi says, oh, don't worry about that, I'm eating also, nobody listens to Rabbanu. So he saw what kind of a matzav it was in Eretz Yisrael. Yeah. No. If the Rabbanut was going to tie, so you should fast. But on your own, it's not a smart thing to be mekabel tainus. We should try to be memayit tanugim. Look, I'm overweight, so I don't become overweight from nothing. Obviously, I'm eating all these all the food that I don't really need. So that's also a tainus. A person should cut that on his eating. It's also a shtickle tainus. You have to do things that are easier to do. Tanaisim apps are not so easy. Years ago, they didn't have so much food to eat anyway. So it wasn't so difficult to fast. Today, it's uncomfortable to fast. So it can kill your whole day. Not such a smart idea. But if the Rabbanut encouraged everyone to fast, so you should fast. Okay,
even if it's going to be the Maid in Talmud Torah. I mean, the Briska, Maseri here in Eretz Yisrael, they only fast on Tisha B'Av and Yom Kippur. Inside the Gemara. If it's the Maid in Talmud Torah, so it's going to affect, generally, Tanaisim affect people's living. In a very serious way.
What, the Rabbanut wants people to fast the whole day or just a half a day?
I'll say half a day.
Yeah, it's not going to affect you. Leave my breakfast, come on. When is Chatzais?
It's early.
27. They're asking people to do something that's reasonable. That's not so unreasonable. Even if I'll stay here. That's not so unreasonable.
One final question. Does one violate kibbutz avayim if he goes against his parents in regards to his future profession?
No, that says in Shulchan Aruch. It's all simer reish mem, hilchos kibbutz avayim, which unfortunately everybody violates. Tanoim and Amaroim, they all say that it's the most difficult mitzvah to observe. Abai's father died before he was born, and his mother died at childbirth, and he says how fortunate he is that he didn't violate kibbutz avayim. Fortunate that he was a yosem, he had no father, had no mother. But he didn't violate kibbutz avayim. Most of us are not at all careful the way we should be. So there's all siv and reish mem, and you're there, hilchos kibbutz avayim. And then you have the last siv. The Rama says if the boy wants to marry a girl and his parents oppose, so there's no din of kibbutz avayim over there. So the Vilna Gaon quotes the three reasons that are given by the poskim for that din. And these three reasons are really the guidelines for the whole hilchos kibbutz avayim. So one of the reasons that they give is he wants to perform a mitzvah of getting married. So if the parents tell me not to do a mitzvah, I don't have to. I'm not supposed to listen to them. When I'm going to decide not to marry this girl, so I'm going to say I'm not going to marry her. Sure, you're going to marry her, just like that. I've been going out with this girl for so many weeks, and I want to marry her. And then my parents say don't. So I'll just say okay, I'll marry her. It's not going to happen. So it's going to take another couple of months till I decide to someone else. So if it would be just, I will marry her, marry the other one, so fine. So listen to your parents. They're not telling you to be mevatel mitzvah. But it's going to take a while, so number one is bitul mitzvah. And number two, they say, kibbutz avayim is mishal av v'lo mishal bein. And so my father tells me, Herschel, I'd like to go to Eretz Yisrael. Can you help me out? So I say, yeah, Dad, give me a credit card. And I'll make all the arrangements. He says, kibbutz avayim, your credit card. So the din is, my father has money, there's no chi of kibbutz avayim mishal bein. Kibbutz avayim is mishal av, lo mishal bein. He can ask me, please drive me to the airport and please carry the luggage. I have to service my father. But I'm not mukhiv to pay the money for the airline, pay the money for the hotel. My father has money, so he pays himself. So the poskim say, if kibbutz av is not mishal bein, you're not mukhiv to spend money on kibbutz av. You're not mukhiv to suffer a broken heart. He fell in love with this girl. And then the parents tell him, don't marry that girl. She's going to have a broken heart. So that's worse than taking away money from the son. Not mechuyif to spend money, not mechuyif to lose money on the kibbutz av, not mechuyif to have a broken heart. And then the most important reason that they give is that kibbutz av only means, kibbutz av, we usually translate kibbutz means honor and respect your parents. So that's really mora. Mora means to show respect. Kibbutz means to give service. The Gemara says, Ezu kibbutz beizu mora, the kibbutz is machilo, mashkeho, manilo, machitzo. If your father needs a cup of coffee, so you give him. My father died at the age of 94. But sometimes I would listen. My father would ask him, would you like me to make you, when he was old? I would ask, would you like me to make you a cup of coffee? He said, what am I, an invalid? He doesn't want. Okay, so if he doesn't want, he doesn't want. He wants to feel, at the age of 94, he wants to feel that he can do on his own. Okay, but if the parents need a little help, he wants me to go shopping for him. He wants me to drive him to the airport to carry his luggage. Okay. That's the din of kibbutz, to give service, machila, mashke, manila, machitzo, to give service when they would appreciate it, but they don't want it, isn't it? But if they need this service, you have to give it. And moira is to show respect. So the poskins, and many poskins say, kibbutz av means to service the parents, but the parents have no right to tell me whom to marry and what to do for a living, where I should live, and so on. Every person has to figure out his own life. Parents have no right to interfere with the children, to call all the shots.
Unless it's a bizoyan for the mishpacha.
If it's a bizoyan, then he has to...
How does one define bizoyan?
So by Europeans, they would say, a Yekka should marry a Galiciana. A Galiciana should marry a Hungarian, a Romanian. This was the biggest bizoyan. This is a hot joke, so that's what the Shulchan Aruch said, there's no deal of keeping up. But if he's going to marry a girl who's not so religious, you marry a girl a prutza, doesn't dress nicely. So not only is it that he's not observing the mitzvahs, it's going to be a busha for the family. So then he's in humiliating the parents. So that's not permissible. That's a shaila. What's considered a bizoyan to the parents? The plus concern whenever it's a bizoyan to the parents, then he's not allowed to disregard what they say. So what's considered a reasonable design to the parents? That's you got to work out the details. Yes. Very good. Have atzlocha in your learning. Baruch Tov.
Would that be based on